buddy. Great to be in church on Sunday again.
Yes.
Talking about relationships. Anybody learn anything last week? Sometimes we have to learn from our own medicines too. What we preach, we have to practice. I thought we'd start off with another video this week. It went over well. We're talking about relationships, families. It is family weekend. And so I thought I'd show a little clip again. And before we get into a serious subject, go ahead.
Moms are a big help when you lose something, aren't they? Your mom is just not a help at all. Hey, Mom, I can't find my wallet. Well, it's got to be somewhere. It's like, that's good. I thought I was going crazy for a minute. I thought I was looking for something that didn't exist. Thank you. Mom was the worst nurse in the world. Some women, the parents and mothers, they just don't. You do the same thing, no matter what's wrong with the kid, you tell them to do the same thing. Especially women in the South, when I was Mom's kid. I'm like, Mom, I don't feel good. You need to get a sit on the pot. You need to sit on the, yeah. It's ancient wisdom that only I can conceive. Go sit on the pot, you'll feel fantastic, I'm telling you. I think I broke my leg. You need to go sit on the pot. Okay. Okay, I'm trusting you. It's still kind of throbbing. Marcus Welby, I don't think this is it. I can see her at my funeral. I told him to sit on the pot. I told him. And everybody in this room has gotten this when you're driving away from a parent. Drive careful! Duh. What are they going to say? Drive fast and take chances. Cut people off, sweet pea. Use your road rage if you have to. Like, I don't know what gallivanting means. Didn't want me doing that. Don't you go gallivanting around. Okay. Stop it, you're gallivanting. I told you not to do this. My friend's like, where are you going on vacation? I think we're going to Tarnation. Mom's going to blast us there in the middle of next week, she said. Oh, then we're going to Kingdom Come. Yeah. I think that's a water park in Ohio. It's a mom word dawdle. They don't like when we dawdle. You're dawdling. Quit dawdling. Don't dilly-dally. Don't lollygag. That sounds like you're choking on a sucker. I'm lollygagging! Ah! That's what lollygag should mean.
Get into a serious subject, which is guarding our marriage and our families. I think it's important, and this was comical to set the stage just so that sometimes when we talk about things, the importance of very important things, we need to start off with a light bit of humor. But our families are important, our marriages are important, and we need to learn in our life to guard those things. And you know, I don't want anybody to feel bad if you're here and you've been divorced, because God, you know, overlooks a multitude of sins in our life or things that go wrong that are out of our control that we have no control over. But you know, I begin to think about the family and how the family unit is broke up, and how we need to guard that. And I really felt the Lord just speak to me this message, and you know, it laid heavy on my heart. Because it's real. It affects us all. We all have kids. We all have families. And, you know, we think sometimes we can change everything in our kids' life, but we have to allow them to to grow and develop and be themselves. And, you know, I was reading some statistics and, you know, there's every 36 seconds there's a divorce. It said in America, 2,400 divorces a week, 16,800 a week, close to 1 million a year. That's, to me, that's staggering when I think of that. You know, a family separating every 36 seconds. Of the children are raised by their mothers these days. The fathers aren't involved. That's staggering when you think of those things. You see, God has a plan. God has a purpose for every individual. I believe He has a divine plan, a divine purpose for every family, for every mother, for every father, for every kid in life. I believe those things. I believe we're not just put here to be here. But God has that divine plan. In Jeremiah it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declare the Lord. Plan to prosper you, not to harm you. Plan to give you hope and a future." You see, the plan God has for our life is the roadmap for us. God has a roadmap in our lives for every individual here. He has a plan. He wants us to go from this point to that point. I really believe that. We're just not here to just consume space and to occupy things, but we have a plan. You know, as a husband and wife, God has a plan for our marriage as a team, not as a divided team. But He has this plan for us. And, you know, when we have kids, He has this plan for our kids in our lives. He has a divine plan for us. He knows us. When the Bible says He knows every hair on our head, He knows us. He knew us from the beginning. He has a plan. If you're here today and you're wondering where you're at, God has a divine plan. It doesn't matter if you're single, you're married, you're a kid, you're in any situation, He has a divine plan for every individual. You know, so I've been thinking about plan, purpose. We have purpose. God wants us to do things with our lives. You know, you could go through the Bible and see the plans He has for us. If you spend time in the Word, He has, I mean, you can take the Great Commission that's there. He can command us to do that. We're commanded to have a relationship, a fellowship with Him. We're commanded to advance the kingdom of God in this world. But you see, the Bible says that Satan comes to steal, destroy, and to kill. We need to have our spiritual eyes open. We need to be attent. We need to be in tune in the Spirit to recognize where we're at, what's going on. And when I was meditating and the Lord was just spewing these things in my head, you know, I was thinking, you know, I don't want my kids to go through that. I don't want to go that as an individual. So I need to guard against those things. You know, I need to protect those things. How do we do some of those things? How does the enemy get in there and he, you know, work on us? And I thought about different things. And in the scripture, it talks, if a house is divided against itself, it can't stand. Division is a tool from the enemy to divide us. And I want to talk about division a little bit. Dividing. If he can get us at odds with one another, if he can divide us, if he can get you divided among your spouse, he started to get a foothold into your marriage. And, you know, I was thinking about that foothold, a wedge. I was thinking about a wedge. I was thinking about when I used to cut wood, and I'd cut a log down, rock maple, we called it. It was hard as a rock, but we could split that. Something that was as hard can be. We took a tool, and we began to split it. And you could split something that was really hard. You know, we can have a firm marriage, but we got to be careful that we don't let tools come into our marriage and into our family's life and begin to split it apart. Split it apart. We need to guard ourselves. We need to recognize these tools the enemy brings. Division is, to me, is one of the worst keys the enemy can use in our households. You see, if he can get us at odds with our wife, before you know it, it can grow into something bigger. He can use all kinds of things in our world to divide us. You know, when I think about these things, you know, he can use jobs to divide us. We all have to have jobs. But if you're living on the road 300 days a year, and you're only spending about 52 days a year at home, it could begin to work as a wedge in your family and in your life. Lots of things. What we watch can divide us. What we do can divide us. Where we go can divide us. You know, a lot of times people get married and they go to the clubs on the weekend and dancing with other people and drinking. You know, I can remember back home, the Legion was famous for that. And my mom would always preach, hey, you're not going there. It's not good. And people would say, well, why? You know, well, they had these dances and, you know, they'd get drinking and then they'd start dancing with somebody else's wife. And before you know it, a wedge come in. Something happened that shouldn't have happened. They started having feelings for that person they were dancing, or they were under the influence of alcohol, and they did things that they shouldn't have done. That influence, that's the beginning of a division. We need to guard our marriage, guard our life, guard our kids. I know it's quiet in here this morning. A pin could drop. But you know what? This is a word from God for people in this place this morning. I know that. I had this message given to me by God. I didn't write this up. I was on my way to the chiropractor, and the Lord started speaking to me about this. And I started typing it down when I got in the yard. And I was trying to type it faster than I could even, like I was afraid my mind was going to forget these things because it didn't come from me. Guard your marriage. God's saying that this morning to us. Guard our marriage. Guard our families. Protect them. You know, we talked a few weeks ago about placing a hedge, a protection around about our house and our homes with the blood of Jesus, that bloodline. You know, we need to begin to do that. It's one of them things that seems like you could almost preach every week. Guard your family with the blood of Jesus. Place that hedge. Put that wall around your family. Your wife, your kids, it's important. You see, if the enemy can come in and use different tools in life to distract us and divide us, he begins to destroy the plan God has for your life and your kids' life. The Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We need to be spiritually alert to that. We're not wrestling against our wife or our husband or our kids. It's a spiritual wickedness. It's a principality that wants to come in and divide your life, destroy you, push you down. Don't allow those things to come in. Guard that. Protect that. Cover yourself with the blood. Use the shield of faith. Begin to say, no, that's not going to be for me and my household. I'm not going to allow those things. I'm not going to watch those things. I'm not going to do those things. I'm not going to go to those places. I'm not going to enter into these things. my wife, if she says something to me, or my husband, I'm going to let it roll off me. I'm not going to hold that. I'm not going to hang on to that. I'm going to allow forgiveness to flow. No bitterness in my life. I'm going to allow that to go. We need to begin to let those things roll off us. Because when you're spiritually alert and you're aware that it's not this person and that person and that person attacking me, it's a spiritual thing that's coming against to try to destroy the plan and the destiny and the purpose for your life. I want my destiny, my purpose to be fulfilled while I'm here on this earth. I want my destiny, my purpose in my kids' life to be fulfilled. Pray for them every day. I'm sure there's lots of people to do. This morning I was praying that over my kids and my grandkids, that their destinies would be fulfilled, and that the plan that God has for their life, whatever it may be, whether it may be just to win one person to God, that they would fulfill that. We need to realize that our families are important. They're more important, I think, than anything else other than our walk with the Lord. Because the way we live our families portrays how a lot of times how we live our Christian life. You know, if we don't love our kids, there's something wrong. There's a disconnect because God loves us. If we don't love our wives, we've heard it over and over again. Love your wife like Christ loved the church. If we're not loving our wife like that, there's a disconnect. We need to be connected to God in the Spirit and in His Word and allow those things to override our personal and natural feelings and overcome our flesh desires so that our purpose and our plan is not robbed. You see, there's a refuge in God. He looks after us. I know I talked maybe a little bit negative in the beginning, but God is for us, the Bible says. He's not against us. He's given us every equipment, every tool we need to push back division, to push back unforgiveness, bitterness, anything that may creep into our life. You know, these wedges that we allow, we can't allow them in our house. Can't allow them in our families. You know, our kids, we're a model to them. They watch us. If we're dysfunctional, they're going to be dysfunctional most of the time. Not all the time, but a great percentage of them are. If they see mom and dad always arguing, they're going to think it's normal to take it into their marriage or into their life, into their job. You know, kids, when they're young, you know, you heard the saying, they're supposed to be seen and not heard. But kids, when they're young, they watch everything. You know, we're the tin plate for our kids. I really believe that. We're the tin plate. If we're always fighting at home, if you're a liar, you'll tend to see the kids tend to be liars. If the parents are disrespectful, the kids seem to be disrespectful. If we're lazy, our kids are lazy. Now, granted, I'm not going to say 100% of them are, because there's a lot of people that overcome that, too. But we are an open book to our children. An open book. It's important for us as parents to begin to teach love, to begin to teach forgiveness in our homes. Be a person that forgives and doesn't hold things against other people. A person that loves against all things. A person that cares for one another. A person that's giving to others. You see, God has given us so many good gifts that we can be a tin plate in a positive response to our kids. Nobody likes it when it seems like the finger comes back pointing at us, you know? And I'm not trying to condemn everybody. There's times that I do things I shouldn't do. And I say, Lord, forgive me. I've had to say to the boys, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have responded that way. But we have to be aware in our spirit of those things, or we'll just continue going through life doing our natural fleshly desires and becoming a bad tin plate for our family. You see, if we can live like Christ, we can live a great tin plate for our family and for our wife. So guard those things. Don't allow the world's view, the view of the flesh, to wedge its way in to your marriage and into your family. But let it be positive. You see, there's always a positive to everything. You can talk about the negative, you can talk about the positive. You know, I think of the prodigal son in the Bible. It's a prime example of positives and negatives. And families, you know, and things that have gone bad. If you're here today and your family's gone a wayward way, and he's spent all of his money, like in the Bible, spent everything, went and lived his own way, there will be a point in time where that son or that daughter can come home. And you know what? You can be the opportunity to even welcome him in or not welcome. Right? It doesn't matter how bad your kids are or what they do or how much they do their own thing. As parents, we have to always allow them into the kingdom. That's how Christ is with us. We do things all the time that he's not happy with, but he always welcomes us back. And we need to have that mentality. Our kids can go a wayward way, but God's still in control. He still owns this world. He owns everything because he's the creator. He's still in control, and he can bring all things back. God has a master plan. Just like he had a master plan for us all to serve him and to follow him as his Savior. We need to lift up our spouse and our children when they're weak. I don't know how much we ever talk about this, but we need to lift up our spouse, man or wife, our kids when they're weak, when they're going through things. We tend to do it more with our kids than we do our spouse. We tend to, if our kids are going through a rough time, we tend to jump in a lot of times and try to fix it or help them. But we sometimes leave out our spouse needs us just as much or more. We have to lift them up. And we have to be strong for them when they're weak. The Bible says he'll be strong for us when we're weak. And ultimately, God has to be strong for them too. But when you're living with somebody every day, we need to be strong for them. My wife is strong for me when I'm weak. And I try to be strong for her when she's weak. We need to be strong. It reminds me of a story in the Bible. I thought about this a little bit and the relationship to family. But there's a story in the Old Testament where they held up Moses' arms to win the battle. They were in a battle with the Amalekites. And he got Aaron and Hur to hold up his arms. As long as he held his arms up, the Israelites would prosper. Soon as his arms would drop, the Amalekites would advance. And so they held up his arms. And I was thinking about that, significant too, held up his arms. I was thinking of family. I was thinking, you know what? If there's a mom and dad in a unit together that'll hold up their kids' arms when they're going through something, they can overcome the battle. They can win the battle. But it's really hard when there's only one person holding up that arm. Hold up your family. Husband and wife, hold one another up. Allow God to be strong for you. But be strong for your parent, your wife, your son, your daughter, whoever's in your life. Be strong. Let them know that you're there to encourage them. The Bible says Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. We need to build up one another. Build up the people around you, your family. This week, I'm all out of time. Think about these words, about the purpose and plan God has for your life. Think about the division. Don't allow the enemy to divide you. Be strong in your house. Don't be a house that's divided, but be strong and hold one another up, because God will hold you up too. Be there for one another. Show your spouse, show your kids that you're there for them. Let's all stand. I want to just read one more scripture because I thought it was really cool the way I read it. And, you know, if you say, you know, there's a relationship that can't be mended, I believe God can mend any relationship. It takes two to do it. But, you know, I do believe that love trumps everything. The love of God trumps everything in our life, if we'll allow it to. But you see, he gives us a free will and emotion, and we can either allow it to or not. But I just like the way the Message Bible read a portion of Corinthians 13. It says, love never gives up. Love cares more for others than itself. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't hurt. Love doesn't have a swelled head. Doesn't force itself on others. Isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of sins in others. Love bridges everything. There used to be a song that the Judd sang, love will build a bridge. If you're in a family and there's a problem in your family, build that bridge out of love. Bridge that back. Guard that back. Shove the wedge that's drove in back out with love, with the love of God. It's the love of God that will do that. Is there anybody here today that would just really want to, let's just bow our heads. Is there anybody here that just really wants some prayer for their marriage or their family or their kids? I believe God wants to restore some things in some houses today. I see that. Yeah. Thank you. Let's just pray. Father, we know that you're the God of the universe. Lord, we know that you're not a God of division. We know you're a God of love and mercy. And Lord, we pray for every household in this place that feels there's a wedge driven in somewhere in their house, whether it be in a marriage or whether it be in a child's life. We come against that right now in the name of Jesus. We bind that spirit that would come to divide in the name of Jesus. And we rebuke it right now. And we cover this situation with the blood of Jesus. For we know the blood of Jesus is more powerful than anything. And we know that if it's covered with the blood of Jesus, no weapon formed against them can prosper. And we speak this right now over these marriages, over these kids right now. And Lord, we pray that restoration would come. And we pray that the prodigal sons and daughters that have walked away will come home. We speak this now in the name of Jesus. Any child that is run from you, any relationship that has been broken with a parent, I pray it'll be restored in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Right now in your name, Jesus. And we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a blessed week. Be spirit conscious of what's going on in your home, what's going on with your family and your kids this week. Take time to build a bridge if there's not a bridge between a loved one. And have a great family time. You're dismissed.
tasted the wine.